Here is a CBS feature recorded earlier.
The Doorway to Life is a Happy Childhood. To help you find this doorway for your child, the Columbia Broadcasting System invites you to listen to the case history of Ruth, age 17, a problem in adoption. What happens to a child after it is born is much more important than the circumstances of its birth. This is the story of two people who didn't know this, who believed the old adage, like father, like son, or in this case, like mother, like daughter. And this is the story of a child who suffered the consequences.
Hey, that was groovy. Now let's see, peg of my heart, mamsel. Oh, San Fernando Valley, give me another nickel, Pete.
I've got a nickel. Here. Take a dime, play it a couple of times. I don't care.
I wonder why you don't hear it on the radio anymore. Gosh, you used to play it all the time. I'm leaving today. Gonna take a trip.
Hey, you got a good voice. I didn't know you could sing.
I'm gonna settle down and never.
You know something? You could make money at it. Singing with a band or in a nightclub.
And do you know something? My mother doesn't think it's nice to sing, except in church.
Ah, that mother of yours. Come here, baby. So funny.
Oh, Pete, you look so silly. Got lipstick all over you. Hey, Marge, want to see something?
Go away, will you? Can't you see we're busy?
Hey, Marge, Bob, cut it out, will you? What do you think this is, a park?
Hey, waiter, bring us four more beers, will you?
Sorry, fellas. Boss says I'm not to let you have any more drinks. He told me to tell you I'll have to leave.
Well, I like that. We've got as much right here as anybody else.
You tell him, baby. And you go tell your
boss. Now, look, Sonny, don't you tell me what to do. Now, take your dames and get out of here.
Who are you calling a dame? I'm just as good as anybody in here.
You're darn right she is. You better apologize, mister.
All right, now, look, kid, look, kid. Take it easy, take it easy. We don't want any trouble with the cops. Now, the boss thinks you're too young to be.
Ah, don't change the subject. Are you going to apologize to this lady?
Oh, come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, forget it,
Pete. Is he going to apologize?
Hey, Ruth, get him out of here.
I'm not going
come on,
to
Pete, let's go. You're very cute, and I'd like to see you knock his block off, but not tonight, Pete, huh?
Well, anything you say.
And you tell your boss that I wouldn't come into this cheap joint again, not even if he sent me an engraved invitation.
That's your telling him, baby. Well, where do we go from here?
Gee, it's a swell night to go to the beach. How about it?
What are we waiting for? Let's go. Gonna pack my grip and I'm
leaving
today.
Gonna take a trip California way.
Oh, Bob, look.
What's the matter?
Oh, Bob, you got a flat tire.
I have. Well, I'll
get out the spare, Bob.
Who says I got a spare? I ain't even got a jet.
You mean we ain't going to the beach?
Hey, Bob, here's a car just like yours. And I don't think it's lost either.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Let's have a look. Well, what do you know? The dope left these keys in here.
That was very nice of him. Let's go.
Oh, I don't know if we...
Don't stand there. Get in.
Hey, we're going to get into trouble.
Hey, you wanted to go to the beach, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, but not if
we took this car by mistake. That's all. Now stop arguing and get in.
I gotta pack my grip and I'm leaving today. I'm gonna take a trip.
Hey, you know this is fun.
You're charged with violation of the Penal Code, sections 024-36 and 024-40.
And what does that mean?
Taking part in auto theft, being underage and drunk.
Well, I know I'm not drunk.
Well, you know how old you are?
17.
17. What's your name?
Ruth Green.
Have you ever been called by any other name or alias?
Well,
Have you?
Well, yes. Ann Smith.
Ruth Green, alias Ann Smith.
Ann Smith, come here, dear.
Janitor, bye-bye.
Maybe. Come along.
Going into my office and see some nice people. Let's fix your hair a little bit.
Fix hair.
All right. Now we look pretty.
And you look pretty.
Mr. and Mrs. Green, I want you to meet Ann Smith.
Ann Smith. Oh, David, isn't she adorable? Yeah. Come here, darling.
Still sing, man.
She's coming to me. Go on, Don. You want to sit in my lap, huh? Go on. There. How's that?
I think Ann likes you, Mr. Green.
Well, of course she does.
Now I'm going to leave you three alone so that you can get better acquainted. I'll be back in a little while.
Now let her come to me, David.
All right. Easy
come
now.
On, dear.
Come
here. That's better. Now give me a kiss.
Kiss, baby.
Uh-huh. You know, if you're going to live with us, you'll have to love me, too.
Well, what did you think of our little Annie?
She's a friendly little thing, isn't she?
How old did you say she was?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Here's her birth certificate. She was born August 14th, 1930. This is March 4th, 1932.
That would make it almost 19 months old.
Well, the reason I asked was that she seemed so bright.
I'm glad you noticed that. You know, we think Annie's very smart.
Annie's going to have a new name, too, if we take her. We would want to call her Ruth.
It's one of those family things.
You see, my mother's name was Ruth.
Well, whether you call her Annie or Ruth, I think we'd both be very happy with her.
She's such an adorable child. Oh, I just can't imagine any mother wanting to give her away.
Well, the mother did try to keep her, but she had to work and she wasn't able to give the child the attention and care that she needed.
Well, what about the father? Isn't he living?
Well, all we know about the father is what Annie's mother told us. She doesn't know where he is. You see, Mr. Green, Annie's mother wasn't married.
Oh, the poor child. What a shame. Well, I'm certainly glad we can give her a name.
County Home for Children, Adoption Office, Mrs. Newman speaking.
Hello, this is Martha Brown, probation officer for the juvenile court.
Oh, yes, Miss Brown.
We have a girl in our custody, Mrs. Newman. A girl named Ruth Green, who was arrested last night, along with another girl and two boys. The charges are auto theft and drinking.
I see. How old is the girl?
Well, she's only 17. But she's been running around with a pretty bad crowd, and she's been picked up quite a few times already for minor offenses. Truancy, vandalism, and petty thievery.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I can find some way of correcting the situation, there's a very good chance that the judge will have to send her to a state institution.
Hmm. Well, now, just how do you feel that I can help you, Miss Brown?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've gotten ahead of myself. We found in the records that Ruth Green was originally given for adoption through your agency.
Oh, an adopted child.
That's right. And the fact that she was adopted is the thing that seems to be bothering her most.
I see. Well, I'd like very much to help if I can.
Oh, that's fine. Then, when can you see the girl, Mrs. Newman? The case is coming up very soon.
Could you bring her over about 2 this afternoon?
Oh, yes, of course. And you'll want to talk to the parents, too, I suppose.
Oh, yes, but after I've seen the girl. I'll make an appointment to see them in the morning.
Thank you, Mrs. Newman. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Baby when we got her, Mrs. Newman. But you can never tell what a baby will turn into. That child was never like other children.
We knew we were taking a chance when we adopted her.
Well, you weren't taking any more of a chance than you would have if you'd had a child of your own, Mr. Green. You say that Ruth was never like other children. Isn't it possible that you didn't allow her to be like other children? Ruth told me yesterday that you didn't want her to be like other children.
Well, how could she say such a thing?
She told me something that happened to her when she was 7 years old, and I think you should know about it. It may help you to understand how Ruth feels. She was telling me that she felt sure that you didn't love her, and I asked her why.
Because they never told me they loved me. They never told me one single time that they loved me or that they really wanted me. When I was only 7 years old, they made me feel like a criminal. And all because 2 other little girls and myself decided to go for a walk one afternoon instead of going back to school.
Good heavens, Ruth! Why aren't you in school? What's happened?
Oh, it's nothing, Mother. The teacher just sent me home to get an excuse because I didn't go to school yesterday afternoon.
You didn't go to school? Well, where did you go?
Oh, just for a walk. It was during the lunch period, and Betty and me and Jean went for a walk, and then it was too late to go back. getting excuses, Mother.
What do you mean you went for a walk? Went for a walk where? What did you do?
We didn't do anything, Mother. We just played.
Ruth, you frighten me. Are you telling me everything that happened?
I didn't do anything there. Don't you believe me? I didn't do anything bad.
Ruth, I can't give you an excuse. I'm going back to school with you, and I'm going to tell your teacher that she must watch you more carefully and that she must never let this happen again.
Oh, don't tell the teacher, Mother. Why can't you give me a note?
I'm doing this for your own good, Ruth. There are some things that you're too young to understand. So ashamed when she talked about me to the teacher. She made me feel like there was something wrong with me, that I was different from other children. And then that night I heard her talking to my father. They didn't know I was with children during school hours. I can't be there.
Kate, we've got to make Ruth understand that she must come straight home from school every day and that you must know what she's doing at all times.
Oh, Gilbert, I've been so afraid. From the very beginning I've been afraid that something might happen.
Well, we'll have to watch her, Kate. Maybe there is some bad blood in her. We'll just have to watch her.
Yes, you must have been afraid, both of you, from the very beginning. You were afraid that Ruth would be like her mother. Isn't that so?
Well, it's quite possible, isn't it, Mrs. Newman?
After all, Ruth's mother wasn't a very nice person.
Parents of adopted children often worry, as you have, Mrs. Green. But we can't blame Ruth's mother for the kind of person Ruth is today. Character traits are not inherited. What is done with a child after it's born counts for so much more than the circumstances of the child's birth.
Well, then, why was she so interested in boys? She was awfully forward with them.
Don't you think that because of your fear, you might have stimulated this interest? By trying to protect her, you made her much more aware of boys than she would have been otherwise at her age. For instance, Ruth spoke to me about a party dress that she wanted very badly when she was about 10.
There it is, Mother, in the window. Oh, isn't it just beautiful? It's just perfect to wear to the party, Mother.
You mean that blue one? Oh, I couldn't let you wear anything like that, Ruth.
Why, Mother? All the other girls have dresses just like it.
I can't help what the other girls have. You're not going to wear anything as extreme as that.
You just don't want me to look nice.
Ruth, that's not the kind of a dress a girl 10 years old should wear. There are hardly any sleeves, and the neck is cut much too low. And you have a party dress that I made especially for you.
Yes, and I'm never going to wear it again, either. Everybody made fun of me. They said I looked like an old lady.
And what is wrong with looking like a lady? If you look and act like a lady, the boys will respect you and leave you alone.
Why should they leave me alone, Mother? You mean if I wore that dress, it would make the boys like me?
Ruth, you're asking too many questions. You're much too curious about certain things. Things that nice little girls just don't talk about. I didn't know what she meant. And I couldn't see that my friends weren't nice and they could have those dresses. The way my mother talked about it made it seem more exciting than ever. I just had to have it. I started saving my lunch money for it and picking up all the loose change I could find around the house. The day before the party, I still needed $3 to get the dress. I took it from my mother's purse. I bought the dress and I put it on at school. And I'll never forget how much fun I had.
But can't you see, Mrs. Newman, I felt such an awful sense of responsibility towards her.
I'm just trying to make it clear to you that you seem to have expected the child to be bad.
Well, how could that have anything to do with her stealing?
You both placed too much importance on so many things that she did. She took the $3 not only because she felt she had a right to the dress, but it was a way of striking back at you for making her unhappy. And when Ruth began reaching outside of her own home for friendship and understanding, you resented it. And because of your other fears, you misunderstood Ruth's need for friendship. Ruth told me about a friend that she had. She said her name was Miss Downs. She told me that this woman was the only real friend she'd ever had.
I loved her very much. She liked me. She trusted me. Her name was Miss Downs. She was my gym teacher in the 8th grade. Mrs. Green speaking.
Oh, Edith. Well, nothing special. Why, of course, we'd love to. Yes, Ruth's here.
Oh, I'm going, Mother. I'll be back where I'm going.
Oh, it's not one thing, it's another. Just a minute, Edith. Ruth, come back here. You're not going any place without lipstick on. Now go wash your face. Hello, Edith. Yes. 13 years old, wants to wear lipstick. Oh, I know it. Father would have skinned us alive. Yes. I sometimes wonder. Well, all right, Edith. You're coming right over. Well, we'll be ready. Goodbye. Ruth, I told you to go wash that lipstick off. Your aunt's coming to take us for a drive.
Oh, but Mother...
If you only knew how common you look with that stuff smeared all over you.
But Mother, I don't want to go for a drive. And anyway, I promised Miss Downs I'd come over to her house.
You mean that gym teacher? What in the world does she want for the girls at her house on Saturday afternoon? Doesn't she see enough of you during the week?
Well, she wouldn't ask us if she didn't want it.
You're not going, Ruth. Edith's coming over and we're going for a drive.
But I promised Miss Downs that I'd be there, Mother.
What about all the promises you've made to me that you didn't keep?
But she's different. I mean...
Different? You mean you'd rather be with her than with me?
I didn't mean that.
What did you mean?
Well, I mean, she's like one of us. And we talk about different things than you do.
What do you talk about? Anything that you wouldn't tell your mother?
Well, no, not exactly. It's just that we talk about things that you wouldn't be interested in.
Yes? Well, go on.
Well, that's all, Mother. Except that she's a wonderful person. But that's all.
You think she's a lot more wonderful than your mother, don't you? You rave about her as though she were some goddess. Miss Down says this, Miss Down says that. I haven't heard anything else for the last month. Ruth, this sort of thing is unhealthy. It isn't nice. And as for Miss Downs, if she were the kind of person...
Don't you dare say anything about Miss Downs. She's good. She's good. And I don't care what you think. I love her. I love her.
I went to Miss Downs' house anyway. All the girls were talking about our class picnic and having a good time. Miss Downs saw that I looked unhappy. She came over and asked me what was the matter. I couldn't tell her, and I started to cry. Oh, I know now that it was just a schoolgirl crush like everybody else has. But my mother made me feel that there was something wrong with me. She made me feel ashamed. I came home early. I didn't want to talk to anybody, so I came in through the back door. I could hear my father and Aunt Edith talking in the front room. I heard them mention my name. I couldn't help it. I went to the door and listened.
Well, it's all right with me, Edith, if Kate wants to tell her the truth.
David, you know that Kate will never tell her. And I think the time has come when Ruth should know. You've just got to tell her.
Edith, I can't tell her if Kate doesn't want me to. If she has to know, it's Kate's place to tell her. No, I'm not so sure it's a good idea anyway. Let it go this long. I think we should wait till she's older.
Yes, and wait until Kate's a nervous wreck, too. David, don't be foolish. It's time that Ruth learned to appreciate all the things you've done for her. She should be told that she's adopted and that she has no right to go against your wishes at any time.
Mrs. Newman, it was a shame that Ruth had to find out that she was adopted that way. I'd hoped that she would never have to know. But she had such a bad habit of listening to everything that was said. Now, you know nice children don't do that sort of thing.
Oh, that has nothing to do with being nice. If Ruth had been sure that you loved her, she wouldn't have felt this strong need to always know what you were talking about.
Oh, my goodness, what do you have to do to show them you love them? We did everything we could for that girl. We gave her a good home, and I can tell you we did without things ourselves so that she could have things she wanted.
You gave her everything except trust and confidence.
If she hadn't been so secretive, Mrs. Newman, I might have been able to understand her better. I could never get her to talk openly with me the way a girl should with her mother. And then she turned on us. I'll never forget it. It was a few days after she found out about the adoption. She hadn't even told us that she knew. We were just sitting down to supper.
Smells good.
Give me your plate, Ruth.
I don't want very much.
Well, what's the idea, Ruth? You've got to eat, you know.
Oh, yeah, I'll answer it, Mother.
Always at supper time.
Hiya, Ruth.
Marge. Gee.
Well, look, what are you doing tonight?
Well, nothing. I just started to eat supper.
Oh, well, look, try to get your folks to let you leave now. I need a date for you.
A date?
Yeah, and they've got a car, too. They're waiting right out in front.
Who is it, Ruth? Well, gee.
And you know who I got for you?
No, who?
Buck Roberts.
For me?
Yeah, and he thinks you're cute, too. Oh. You sure are lucky. Buck could have any girl around here. Oh, what do you say, Ruth? Can you go?
Ruth, is it getting cold?
Sure, I can go. You wait in the car. I'll be out in a minute. Okay.
Was that Marge Davis?
Look, Mother, I'm not hungry. I'm going out for a while.
Was that Davis, girl? You'll do no such thing. Now sit down and finish your supper.
I'm not going to finish my supper, and I'm going out with Marge.
Now, look here. What sort of talk is that? Kate, who is this Davis girl?
She isn't fit company for Ruth, I can tell you that. She's as wild as they come. Lives with an aunt who never pays any attention to her, never knows where she is.
Ruth, I don't think that's the kind of girl you want to go with.
You never see that girl without a bunch of boys hanging around.
Well, I don't care. I like her. I can pick my own friends, can't I?
What do you and this Marge intend doing tonight? Where are you going?
Well, we're going for a ride with some boys.
Boys? What boys?
Oh, you don't know who they are.
Well, I think we should know who they are. And you're too young to be having dates with boys. You're just a child.
I'm 13 years old. And anyway, what do you care what I do?
Why, Ruth, how can...
Now, wait a minute, Kate. I care because I don't want you to do anything we'd be ashamed of, Ruth. I care because you're my daughter.
I am not your daughter. You lied to me, always preaching to me about telling the truth. Well, how about you? Why didn't you tell me I was adopted, that I didn't belong to you? And that's why you always picked on me, too, because you really didn't care about me. Well, I don't care about you either. And I don't have to listen to you anymore because you're not my father and you're not my mother. And I hate you. I hate both of you.
This may sound like a contradiction, but if Ruth really hates you, it's because she really loves you. She hates you because you've hurt her. And if she didn't really care about you, you couldn't have hurt her. This strong urge of Ruth to hurt back is behind all the trouble that she's gotten into. Ruth is terribly hurt because she feels that you haven't been honest with her, that you've deceived and cheated her about the adoption.
But when she was a little girl, we didn't know how to tell her. It just seemed so cruel. And then when she grew older, well, we didn't know what to do.
Ruth should have known from the very beginning, from the first moment she could understand, that she was an adopted child who'd been especially chosen by you for your very own. And she should have been told this over and over again during her childhood. This feeling that you had picked her over all the other children in the world to be your child, it would have meant so much to her. And the idea of being adopted would have been accepted naturally.
Well, why didn't someone tell us that?
You adopted Ruth 15 years ago. Since that time, we've learned a great deal. Today, most adoption agencies require that a child be told that he's adopted just as soon as he has any understanding.
Well, it's too late for that now.
I don't see that there's much we can do, Mrs. Newman.
Oh, there's lots you can do. Well, you've started already by coming here and being honest enough to talk about your problems openly and facing the fact that you have made some mistakes. Now, what we need to think about is Ruth's future. The court may allow Ruth to return home on probation. If they do, and she gets into any more trouble, I don't think they'll give her another chance. Even though Ruth knows this, it's going to be very hard for her to break old habits, to find new friends. For the past 4 years, Ruth has been living on thrills and excitement. Now, we've got to help her find another kind of thrill, the thrill of achievement, of doing something that she can be proud of. Ruth says that she always wanted to take singing lessons.
We did offer to give her singing lessons, but she wouldn't...
I know, Mrs. Green. But there was a catch to your offer that didn't appeal to Ruth. You offered to give her lessons if she promised to sing in the church choir.
I thought it would be nice for her to sing in the church.
And when she refused, she didn't get the lessons. I think it's pretty clear to you now that when you offered Ruth singing lessons under those conditions, you weren't really offering her anything. Perhaps you didn't realize it, but you were thinking of your pleasure. To have Ruth sing in the choir would have made you happy. We must find things for Ruth to do that will make her happy.
Well, if letting her sing what she wants to sing will help make her happy and help keep her at home, then I say let her sing. The place needs some cheering up anyway. That's what we said when we decided to adopt a child, remember, Kate? You thought a child could keep you from being so lonely, and I said that having a child around the house would cheer the place up. I guess we were thinking more about what Ruth would do for us than what we could do for her. Maybe we could sort of put it to the judge this way, that it's not Ruth, it's us, her parents, who want another chance.
want me, Miss Frost?
Yes, come out here, Ruth.
Oh, what's happened? Am I going to see the judge?
Oh, you'll find out. Come along.
Where are we going? Oh, they're not going to send me away, are they?
Oh, you'll find out. Here we are. Mrs. Green, here's your daughter. Come in, Ruth.
Hello, Father. Hello, Mother.
Sit down, Ruth.
Ruth, we... That is, your father and I hope very much that you'll be able to come home with us. We had a long talk with Mrs. Newman this morning, and, well, she told us certain things.
It's kind of hard to say what we mean, Ruth, but Mrs. Newman helped us to see some things that we... Well, that we didn't understand before about how you feel. You know what I mean?
I think I do. She explained some things to me, too, about why I did certain things.
Ruth, I don't know how to say what I want to say. It's hard for me to put into words. But, well, Ruth, maybe you'll understand what I want to say if I tell you that if you want to take singing lessons, it's all right with us. I mean, you can sing what you want to sing.
Well, don't get us wrong, Ruth. We aren't going to try to make you sing. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Oh, but I do. I want to take singing lessons. But, gosh, suppose a judge doesn't let me go home. I couldn't take singing lessons in reform school.
As a matter of fact, we're going to see the judge in a few minutes. Ruth, you'd better get your things.
Oh, but what's the judge going to do? Maybe he won't let me go home.
Oh, I think he will.
Are you sure?
Well, pretty sure. Now, you go get your things. And hurry up, we'll be late.
Gee, I'll be right back.
Gonna pack my grip, and I'm leaving today. Gonna take a trip, California way. I'm gonna settle down.
Doorway to Life, a public service of the Columbia Broadcasting System, has tonight presented the case of Ruth, age 17, a problem in adoption. With Linda Mason as Ruth, Sarah Selby as Mrs. Green, Bill Johnstone as Mr. Green, and Ann Morrison as Mrs. Newman. CBS invites you to tune in again next week at this time for the story of Howard and Walter, two boys who couldn't get along in school. Doorway to Life is based on authentic case histories, which have been analyzed and approved by a committee of recognized authorities on child care, composed of psychologists, psychiatrists, pediatricians, social workers, and educators. Doorway to Life is written by William Allen and Virginia Mullen. The special musical score is prepared and conducted by Maurice Carlton, and the production is directed by William N. Robeson for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Doorway to Life was recorded earlier and came to you from Columbia Square. This is KNX, Los Angeles. Attention, radio listeners, if you tune out this...